Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, or marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to episode 103 of the CMO Marketing Podcast with me, your host, Simon Dell. Thank you very much for tuning in. Today is another first. This is the first time that I've had two brothers on the show. We are going to interview two gentlemen by the name of Anthony and Guy Napa, spelled N-A-P-P-A. They are the brains behind a massive e-commerce operation based here in Australia called Oz Hair and Beauty. That is spelt O-Z-H-A-I-R-A-N-D-B-E-A-U-T-Y, OzHairAndBeauty.com. If you're female, and maybe some of the guys out there as well, you may well know this website. It is a department store. That's probably the best way of describing it. It is a department store of every possible hair and beauty brand that you could want to put on your hair, your skin, in your bath, make you feel good, to make you smell good, tools to do all of that, anything. There is literally hundreds and probably thousands, actually, brands on here. That itself has presented them with a problem in terms of navigation and people finding what they want. They have a very unique tool that they use to solve that problem, which is interesting to find out about. But they are doing huge business, extremely successful. We'll hear a little bit about their background, the challenges that they've faced. If you're in e-commerce and you want to grow an e-commerce brand, or you're thinking of starting into e-commerce, whatever it is, or you've got an existing brand that wants to go online, you need to listen to these guys. They are absolute masters in their art of running online businesses. So that's Anthony and Guy Napa. Before we jump into that, a little bit of housekeeping. If you want to come and talk to me, Simon at cemoh.com, C-E-M-O-H.com. You can find out about what we do at our website, cemoh.com, cemoh.com. We are Australia's only labor hire marketing agency. So we pretty much put good quality, vetted, trained marketing people. They are our marketing people in your business, whether you want them there for one day a week, for 3 months, or if you want them there a bit longer than that, full time for a year, we can do that. They are our staff. We employ them, we train them, we continue to make sure that they get better and better at what they do, but they're in your business working to help you. That's CMO. We are expanding, growing the business. We want to grow it to Australia wide. So if you are a marketing consultant, you're listening to this and you're looking for more clients, come and talk to us. If you're working in marketing and you perhaps want to get out of working in-house for the same person every day, come and talk to us. And if you're looking for someone to help you with your marketing and you don't want to spend the amount of money that you would spend on an agency and you don't want to hire somebody full-time, definitely come and talk to us. Last other bits, thepodcastboss.com, that's Gilberto. He does all of our audio engineering and makes us sound fantastic. And if you can rate and review us on iTunes, that would be even better. You may not listen to us on iTunes. We're on Spotify and Deezer and all these other platforms, lots of other platforms. It'd be fantastic to know where you listen to us. If you get the chance, come and find me on LinkedIn, Simon Dell. Come and add me, say hello. Be lovely to hear from people who listen to the show. That's pretty much it. Let's jump into our interview with Anthony and Guy Napa. So welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, Guy and Anthony Napa. The very first time I have had brothers on the show. So you are breaking my duck. That's the right way to say it. Probably not the right way to say it, but welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Let's start with just a little bit about the history of your company. You run an e-commerce website called Oz and Hair Beauty. That's spelled O-Z, just in case anyone's going to go and have a look at that. Give us the two questions I'm interested in is, number one, where did the idea come from? What was the, what was the background behind that? And how did it happen that you guys as brothers ended up working on this together?
Okay. So look, how it happened was, our family business history, our family like has been in hair. Parents have owned salons for, now 35 years now. And while I was at uni, I was working two jobs as a labourer and a waiter. And while I was at uni, the labourer went away. So I had no, had no work. So I was at my dad's warehouse and just thought of the idea of, selling the products that I had access to from them on eBay. So it generally started more, as an eBay store at the start, and really from there it took off.
And where did you get involved in that guy? How did you come into the picture?
So I was during my school holidays, because we got very traditional parents where during school holidays you were working. I was always working for my dad in the warehouse packing boxes. And during school holidays, I kind of could see the growth that Anthony was happening, that he was getting through eBay. So I always aspired to one day partner with him. And then it got to a stage where during school holidays, Anthony had to take me and tell my dad that I had to work for Anthony because he was getting too busy.
Yeah.
And when I finished school, I was doing journalism at university. And I didn't like it. I got to my first assessment and didn't know what to do. So I dropped it. In that, I had 10 weeks before my next semester started. I just worked full time with Anthony. And from there, I thought I could add a lot of value within the operation. So I went to him and said, look, I think we should become partners because we can kind of focus on two different areas and both grow the business.
And how does that, my brother lives on the other side of the world, and probably for a very good reason. are you the only brothers? Are there sisters? Are there other brothers? Or is it a big family, or is it just you two?
So we've got a younger brother as well. He's 20 now. He's running our men's website called Above the Collar.
Okay.
And so yeah, he's in the business as well. So it's a big family business. We're proud to say we all work well together. It's just we're all having a bit of fun.
Right. So born out of the eBay store, what kind of made you want to make that transition to, doing eBay to sort of full e-commerce?
What happened was we did end up having quite a shitty website during the eBay phase.
Yeah.
And the first 3-4 years, because eBay was doing, so well and, we're so busy with that, we had no need to really, start focusing on the website. And, eBay was taking up all our time. I had no idea about SEO, no idea about PPC. I was just, an eBay trader. And it was doing, quite well. It was 90% of our revenue. And it was at a perfect time. I had a conversation with one of my good mates, Dad, who runs a website called Kosh & Co. Shout out to him. And, I had a meeting and, sales started to, stagnate. It wasn't growing as much and, suppliers weren't happy with their brands being just on eBay. And he told me, he goes, mate, what you're doing is great. You're young, but at the end of the day, mate, you're not building anything. You're just an eBay store. Who's Oz Hair and Beauty? That's what people want to know. People got to come to you for Oz Hair and Beauty. And then from then, he put me in contact with a digital agency and we invested in that side of it. They, they took over our website, made it more conversion friendly. And from that, that's when Oz Hair and Beauty really begun as the brand.
And let me ask you, because you just mentioned suppliers there, and I think probably the one thing that stood out for me on your website versus other e-commerce clients and things that I've worked for in the past is there's a lot of suppliers, there's a lot of brands there. How do you keep them all happy?
That's the $20 million question. No, look, when you're organizing marketing activities and promotions, the ones that treat you the best, the ones you want to keep more involved in that. And it's we see our brands as partners, not really just suppliers.
Yeah.
So we have great relationships with them. And the best thing about this is we're dealing with suppliers that, my dad's had relationships with some of them for 30 years and his salon. And now, you know, we're dealing with that supplier's kids.
Yeah.
We're taking it into the e-commerce world, and these suppliers are now realizing they've got to focus on the online channel too. So, you know, it's just really looking at them as partners and seeing how we can work together to grow their brand together or not.
What's your, and I know you probably can't tell me this, and if you say you can't tell me, I'll just move straight on. But who do you enjoy? What's your favorite brand on the website?
My favorite brand, you know what? There's too many. So,
mate, that's the most diplomatic answer you could have made. That's
the one that sells the most and the most margin.
My other question then is, if you've got people out there who want to get listed on your website, or you want to become a supplier to you and want to make an impact with your target market, what's the best way for them to do that? What are some of the things that really help you guys as a business when the suppliers come to you and go, look, we're going to do this, you know, and this? What are the things that can make them really stand out on your site?
What really makes a difference is we've got Aussie and Beauty, we've got our audience, the brand's got their audience, and it's all about merging our audiences together and, you know, merging their marketing materials with our marketing materials and creating something special in terms of like a partnership, you know, giving us content, giving us their ambassadors that they're using, giving us exclusive launches for 1 month. So, you know, we're doing all the marketing and we know for that 1 month you can only get it for Aussie and Beauty. Little things like that, you know, that are different, of doing different things than that they're doing to the other websites that they supply.
Okay. A couple of questions, they're technical questions, nerdy questions here, if you want to call them that. I want to kind of understand the stack behind the website. So first question is, what's the website built on? Is it a WordPress website? Is it Magento? What's that built on?
So we're on a Shopify Plus website.
Cool. Okay. Nice. How are you finding that?
For us, it's really good. It's just so easy to use. It's so easy just to make changes on it too. Everyone in our team really likes it. It's just so user-friendly.
Okay. Are you using a special piece of software that does, you know, your automations and things like that? Is there a database management, or is that something that's built into Shopify Plus?
For that, we use Amasis.
Okay.
We've changed from Amasis, from Klaviyo to Amasis.
Right. Okay. Yeah. What was the, because I know a few people that use Klaviyo. What was the reason for the move into Amasis? I've never heard of Amasis. So excuse my ignorance, but how do you spell that?
Emarys. That's the one. And okay. You know, I was a spelling bee in.
So what was your reasoning for moving across those?
So with Amasis, you know, they had not just email marketing, which is very powerful, which we think's probably a bit more powerful than Klaviyo anyway, but they've got personalization,
right?
They've got loyalty, and it's all in one, you know, one place.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to do personalization and loyalty, I would have to have Klaviyo and then let's say Nosto and then another loyalty. So, you know, I'm dealing with three.
Yeah.
If I have it all in one space, it's just easier to manage.
Yeah. They look like they've obviously got a fairly few big names, obviously, as well as you guys, but City Beach, Pretty Little Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look Samsonite. Yeah, they seem to be kicking some goals. It's bizarre that I've never heard of them. Are they Australian company or American company?
You know, I think they're possibly European.
I actually think, yeah, now you've just said that, I think they're UK.
They recently got bought out by SAP.
Right, that would explain the pop-up that came up when I went into their website that says, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And the other one I was going to ask you about was Prezi, or Prezi, or I'm quite sure how you pronounce that, because, again, that's the first time I've seen that, and I think that looks awesome. And for people who want to look at that, Prezie, explain to me what that does.
So it's essentially like a virtual online shopper. It's a shopping assistant. So people we did a survey. More people come to our website because they want to know, like, they don't know the product they want. So they're looking through our website. They're looking through our tabs to making sure that we can recommend them something. So based off that research, it just makes sense to provide like a virtual shopper where they answer a few questions and we recommend a product based on their answers.
Okay, and I guess that's probably quite a big challenge for you guys, because when you've got such a volume of brands that you're working with and such a volume of stock that you're dealing with, I guess there's a potential that customers could get lost in your site, and that kind of too much choice eventually sort of immobilizes them and they don't buy anything.
Yeah, I agree. And because of that, we've had to, in the past 2 years, we've had to change the taxonomy of our website twice,
right,
just to keep up with the increase of products. So when you provide an easy to use, like a web of descriptions and then subcategories, you really want to make sure that everything's in its place and as detailed as possible, so the customer has that easy experience.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to say, I guess would you be doing stuff on sort of conversion rate optimization? Do you kind of sort of study how people are moving through the site? Is there people that do that for you, or is that something that the agency has a look at?
Yeah, we monitor everything, every change that we that we implement.
Yeah.
Make sure it doesn't have a drastic effect to the conversion, because sometimes you think it's better and you love it and you're so dedicated to the cause of the change, but you'd be surprised sometimes after that the data tells you that it's completely wrong and it's not what your customer wants. So end of the day, we always just go back to the data and make sure we're making decisions on what our customers want and what they say.
When you guys spend money on marketing, what's the best channel for you? What drives the most growth for you guys over the last few years?
100% performance-based marketing. So Google AdWords is
right,
and that's one of the things that really changed our business. So when we started, I told you, at the start it was eBay, I was doing my own Google AdWords to that old shitty website and wasn't going anywhere. But when we got that agency and then we realized that our ROI was really high. 1 month we put 2,000, the next month 4,000. We kept on just doubling down on what works and tripling down, and now we spend 300,000 sometimes a month on Google AdWords.
Jesus.
Just from doing what works and doubling down on what works.
And I guess if you've got a clear ROI, if you're saying, $300,000 is turning into whatever it's turning into, and you guys are understanding the margins behind, your cost of acquisition and so on and so forth, then I guess it makes complete sense that you just keep spending more money.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
And I guess it's just as long as someone is monitoring that, because there's obviously times of the year. Do you kind of have that seasonal business? Is it sort of busy the last 6 weeks, or is it, pretty much every day?
It is. So obviously November is, that's the grand final of e-commerce. That's go time. Everyone's in the trenches, head torch on, pickaxe in hand. We're all working November. But with this year, with COVID, things are so bloody unpredictable that it's so hard to forecast on, is it going to go down when things go back to normal? Is it going to go to a new normal? It's so hard to predict, but generally November's the peak. It drops a little bit in December and then it drops in January.
So you mentioned pay-per-click. I'd imagine certainly because of the content that you're producing, search engine optimization and getting high on the organic rank is probably quite important. We'll talk about content in a second. What about the social pay-per-click stuff? Is there any channels that are working better for you guys in that area? Facebook ads, Instagram ads, any other channels that work?
Yeah, look, Facebook ads it works, but we all know Facebook like to inflate the revenue. If you listen to Facebook, it makes sense to put all your money into Facebook ads. So we got a great agency that really tries to help us attribute what the real Facebook return on ad spend is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Facebook does do, it's probably our second biggest, but next year we want to obviously have that goal of doing more on Facebook and relying less on Google.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the organic side of things is pretty good, because I'd imagine a lot of people are potentially searching for some of the brands that are listed on your website, and they're, with a view that they're potentially finding the brand's website, but they might find your website instead.
Yeah, that's the benefit of why Google works so good, because they'll type in, say, a brand, and then we come up next to the brand. And then, and then they search for other brands that they like, and the average order value is bigger when they go on our website.
And again, you don't have to tell me this, because I know this data is sort of sensitive information, but generally when I work with e-commerce businesses, one of the truisms that I find across all e-commerce businesses is that irrespective of what they sell, the average cart tends to round about be the same. And it's normally around about $100. Is that sort of same for you guys? Is you find that people are happy to spend that kind of money, or and again, I understand that's sensitive information, you don't have to tell me, but what's the sort of amount of money that people are sort of transacting with you guys?
We're right on the money. We're about, you know, $100. $100 is the average order value. This time of the year, because, you know, it's gifting, a lot of hair appliances that are like $200-$300.
Right, yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
It probably goes up $120. This time of the year, but yeah, we're pretty on par with the average e-commerce order value.
Mate, it's weird. There's something about a shopper's mentality online that $100 seems to be a point when they're going. There's something that triggers them to then buy extra things and get it up to $100. So, you know, I think one of my things with people is to say, well, if that's the average value, what we ought to be doing is trying to get people to spend $110. You know, just trying to push every little order add value up just a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we've talked about SEO. I guess one of the other things I want to talk about with you guys, because I had this question from a current client of mine at the moment. Influencers. Influencers are one of those things that kind of people have a sort of a real opinion on whether they're good or bad. Have you used them? Does it work for you?
Look, the first time I used an influencer, I just managed it myself. I think it was like $8,000, and I organized it myself. And honestly, I would have been better to get that $8,000 and chuck it off the roof. Because at least someone else would have picked it up.
Benefited from the $8,000.
Yeah, I would have made some people happy. When I was, you know, first doing it, I just did it very blindly.
Yeah.
You know, I got an influencer. I'm not going to mention her name. Got an influencer, booked her in, and then I realized that I was like the fifth brand that she was doing that day.
Oh,
and it was, you know, it was just like, it was like she was like a Times Square billboard, and like I was lost in the message. You know, now I've got like a PR and social media manager, you know, that works for us, and she's very skilled in that area. And we track everything, and now we do it with a strategy behind it, and we track it, we UTM it. Whatever the one that works, we then double down on them, and that's what we're actually doing. We actually signed up an ambassador now from an influencer that has worked the best out of all the ones that we used this year.
Yeah. Right. If people are going out there and looking at using influencers, is that your sort of top piece of advice there, is to, you know, be tracking everything that they're doing? Or yeah, you know, what's the number one piece of advice when it comes to influencers for you guys?
Look, I would say, look, obviously, you know, there's an element of brand awareness that is hard to be tracked. But when you're doing it, just, you know, make sure you're getting the best value for money. Make sure the person's on your brand. She's not, you know, whoring herself or himself out to other brands. And where you can track it with UTM links and follows, and just try and track as much as possible so you know when to use them again or when not to use them again.
Yeah. I'll float this question to Guy. Often when people build e-commerce websites like you guys, the next step within the evolution of the business is to start creating your own brands. If you look at ASOS and people like that, that's, you know, the basis of their business was that they had other people's brands, and then they started creating their own brands. Is that something you guys have done, or is that something you're thinking of doing in the future? And does that fit in with the brand, or?
Yeah, like I'd be lying if I said that me and Anthony haven't had this discussion before, but it's not in our foreseeable future, because we really respect the brands that we're working with. Like Anthony said, we're partnering with these brands, and for us it'd be going against that relationship. It's working really good. We are doubling down, we're tripling down on what we do well. I think it'd be a distraction if we had to go. It's a whole separate new business that requires a lot more new people and a lot more money behind it, and it's a very saturated market, so if you're not doing it well, it's going to be very, very hard to get in. So for us, we see the lowest hanging fruit is just doubling down on what we're doing well.
And is there an option for you guys? I mean, obviously you're Oz Hair and Beauty. You've got an Australian name, but when you look at the website, you could literally run this e-commerce website anywhere in the world. Is that an option for you guys? Is there demand coming from overseas to potentially be rolling this out in other markets?
Yeah, so we originally launched our New Zealand website. It's still called Oz Hair and Beauty because we still feel the branding in itself, like the name shouldn't be changing.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think the next step for international is going to New Zealand anyway and trying out there just because of the cost of shipping.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the brands we do sell are international brands, so there's demand everywhere.
Yeah. Talk to me about Amazon as well. Is that something that's sort of on your radar? A lot of, again, I know these are third-party brands or partner brands, however you want to call them, but is there an option for you to sort of look at Amazon around the world, or is that something that's on your radar?
Yeah, I think Amazon is, people have been speaking about Amazon for the last 3 years. They're coming to Australia. Like, it's, to sit here and say they're not going to affect the market would be just ridiculous. Like, they're going to come in, they're going to have a crack, and they're going to do well like they've done in every other country. So you've got to just differentiate yourself. We're not an Amazon. We sell hair and beauty products. We sell hair and beauty services. Our staff are highly trained. They're hairdressers. They're beauticians. When you come to Oz Hair and Beauty, when you call up or when you email, you're getting expert advice. Like, we are the professionals. So you're not going to call up Amazon for hair and beauty advice because you're not going to get it. And that's our differentiation.
Last question for you. Well, a couple of wind-up questions here. Aside from the $8,000 on an influencer that you should have thrown off a roof, what's the biggest mistake you guys have made in this journey? What's one thing you look back and think, fuck, I wouldn't, you know, that, you know, you'd go back and tell your previous self not to do that again?
My one was not taking away customer service quick enough. I was answering emails still 4 years in.
Right.
And and that was just me being young and not knowing how to delegate. And really, I regret not hiring someone earlier because that would have freed my time to really learn more about feeding the hamster wheel. Besides being in the hamster wheel, that was my probably biggest regret.
Mm. Yeah. What about you, Guy?
Yeah, to mirror Anthony, he took the words out of my mouth. It'd be to hire qualified people a lot sooner rather than try and do everything yourself. I think you spread yourself too thin. You it's obviously draining, but also if you hire someone who's an expert in the field, who's got the experience, they're going to add a lot more value as well.
Is that quite a scary thing though? Because when you hire an expert, you've got to pay for an expert as well. You know, you're paying for a higher salary. You know, all of a sudden things like cash flow become a bit more stressful. How do you tackle that?
Yeah, it's like a marriage. You're signing a contract. You've got someone in, like they've got to perform. You've got to like them. You're going to work every day. So if you don't like the people you're working with, then why are you working? Like we try and make it a really fun environment. It's scary because we have a really good culture, and every time we hire, we need to make sure, is this person going to come in and disrupt the culture? Are they gonna add value? Where's the are they weighing each other out? There are so many questions, and like when it comes to hiring, like you said, it's scary because it's a very big commitment that has a lot of flow on effects.
Yeah,
I've got a mistake.
So go on, yeah, go for it.
But probably 3 years ago, I tried doing a loss leader tactic with certain products and didn't work. Lost money that month.
Well, tell us about that. What was the loss leader? What did you do?
So it was, you know, a certain hair appliance. I don't want to mention the name and associate the brand with a loss leader, but a certain hair appliance. I thought, you know, I'll do a bit of a loss leader. You know, Woolworths do it, Coles do it, and then when that loss leader becomes, you know, 30% of your sales, you realize you made their money.
I can imagine that hurt. All right, cool. Look, last question for both of you. What's the next steps? You've talked about New Zealand. You've talked about doubling down on what you're doing. Where do you see this in sort of 5 years' time? What's the long-term goal here?
Our next steps is to, like I said, we've historically only done mainly performance. based marketing. Next steps is 2021. We're going to be doing a lot of brand based marketing.
Okay.
Really get our Aussie Hair and Beauty brand out there and become like a name for ourselves, not just not just supplier of hair care brands. Actually, become like the authority in hair and beauty.
Will we be seeing you? Will we be seeing Aussie Hair and Beauty TV ads?
Maybe not next year. Next year goes, and then maybe 2022.
What about you, Guy? Next steps, you know, I mean, you obviously focus on the operational side of the business. Where are you heading with that?
I think we need to, the business itself, we need to keep growing. We need to keep doubling down. There might be more key hires to allow us to grow quicker. I think that's probably a necessity if we really want to keep the rate that we are at. But like just to mirror the brand, the branding side of things, we've really got 2020 we've gained a lot of traction and momentum, and in 2021 and 2022 we really want to keep building on that. We really want to be the first name people think of when it comes to hair and beauty.
Awesome. Look, I guess my last question is, when you get together at Christmas, my big question is, do the three brothers now earn more money than the parents did? Is that a bone of contention at Christmas dinner?
You know what? It's all a big family business, and without them, we're nothing. So we're all one family.
That's good to hear. Yeah. Look, mate, we're super impressed with what you guys have been doing, and I think probably one of the benchmarks that I look at, that, you know, if people can see if a business is doing well, all you got to do is go on a Google. You guys have got 4,240 reviews, which is insane. And you're averaging 97% positive feedback. So if anybody wants to just take one little snapshot and judge a business, I look at that kind of thing and just go, you know, these guys are absolutely killing it. So, look, thank you both for being on the show today. Really appreciate your insights and, you know, wish you both the best for 2021.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.